And now the game we missed last year is ready to roll. Our guest is the one of the Buckeye radio analysts working with play-by-play man Paul Keels, former Ohio State All-American lineman and one of the hogs in the NFL, Jim Lachey. On Twitter, use the handle at MattyAOSU. Welcome in, Matt Anderson. Matt, how's life treating you and yours these days?
Steve, all good here in Columbus. We're looking forward to Saturday. We certainly missed last year and not being able to get out there. I understand that's rescheduled for a decade away, but hopefully that'll happen. But that was one we're looking forward to for sure.
Yeah, I want to book you for 10 years from now. I want to lock that down.
I'll make a deal. If we're both around still doing this, we'll do it, all right?
You got it. You know, I go back a while. I've watched football since the days of the old AFL when BYU was in the whack throwing the ball all over. I don't think I've seen the amount of explosion plays that the Buckeyes put on display against Minnesota. I mean, I was running the numbers. 48 total snaps, 500 yards, 4 TDs beyond 50 yards. Not a bad season debut for CJ Stroud in that offense, huh?
Yeah, it reminds me of some of the Ducks' heyday offensive games. No, you're exactly right. Look, the whole moniker that Ohio State is 3 yards in a cloud of dust and that notion, that's long out the door. I'd say once Jim Tressel left before Urban showed up, and now, I mean, Ryan Day's been an amazing play caller here. They've got explosive receivers. That's probably the strength of their team is their receiving group. Just get on the ball. Their offensive line has been very good. But, yes, the explosive plays, that was the big topic yesterday in Ryan Day's press conference of the, 48 snaps or so, and they averaged 10.5 yards per snap. So this is a team that's done that lately. That, Ryan Day against Big Ten teams is averaging 40-plus points per game. And I know Oregon is not going to be a Big Ten team that comes in here, but they've been very explosive, certainly under him calling play.
You know, one general thought on the program, because a wrong move we know could be costly, and Ryan Day joined the Buckeyes prior to 2017. When Urban Meyer left, he became the head coach. What do you remember about when he was hired, obviously being wired into the fans and supporters? Was there a feeling he was the right guy, or was there an element who thought, hey, we're Ohio State, let's go national and get a big name?
Well, I must tell you that we kind of had the notion that if he was on staff still, he'd be the guy. Because remember, when Urban took the 3-game suspension handed down by the Big Ten and the school, they appointed Ryan Day as the interim coach.
Right.
And the Buckeyes went to Dallas and played TCU on a neutral field at Jerry World and won that game under Day. So I guess the surprise initially was probably when that happened and he was appointed the guy. Look, we knew he was here and was a guy that studied under Chip Kelly and has great appreciation for him, and he has said as much this week. But what we didn't know was that he would be the leader eventually to take over for Urban until kind of that was forced by the suspension. And then when at the end of that year, my years run together here with last season, but I think it was the end of 18 before Urban stepped away, and after Ohio State made it known that he was going to be the guy prior to the Rose Bowl, and then they went on to play Washington, you knew it was going to be him. He gets the whistle in Pasadena and takes over the team. It was surprising. It was almost like, a little bit like the Bob Stoops, Lane Kiffin plan. I think Ohio State wanted to know who Urban thought should be the guy, and obviously if Urban Meyer's going to deem you the one, it's worked out very well, to say the least, for the Buckeyes, because in his 2 full years as the head coach, they made it to 2 college football playoffs.
Yeah, 24-2 is not a bad start.
No.
we continue with Buckeye radio analyst Matt Andrews. A quick thought on the rivalry with Michigan, because history, going back to John Cooper won a lot of games, just couldn't beat the Wolverines. Now Jim Harbaugh takes the job 0-5 versus Ohio State. Of course, the last two allowing 118 points. So how much joy do Buckeye fans take in dominating this rivalry?
Well, they do take a ton of joy. You're exactly right, Steven. And I think probably now some of them are taking it for granted that weren't around to live the 90s as I did as a kid when we were just constantly dismayed and upset and, great teams, impossible teams to go on to the Rose Bowl and play for a national championship. These teams never got there because of that one loss. Coach Cooper is still around Columbus. He's on our flagship on Monday shows here and there. He's a great person here, and he's awesome for sticking around. He couldn't beat Michigan. They were 2-10-1 under Coop. But when Jim Tressel made a point of that rivalry to kind of get that thing flipped, and Urban lived and died it, it has become it's become a lot of fun. I think in the last 20 years, Ohio State's won 18 of them, and officially they've owned the rivalry right now. And I'm frankly shocked that Jim Harbaugh has not been able to get a little bit of that for him. Now, that's not saying it's not coming, but as a player, Jim Harbaugh was very good in the rivalry. So it's certainly the game we all look forward to here, but right now it's been dominated with the Scarlet and Gray.
You know, Oregon was less than stellar in their opening week. You know, they won at home. They needed a late TD drive and a defensive stand. But, you know, you hear the coaches, the players, and those you speak with and your observations preparing for this game. So what's the perception of this Duck team and the kind of challenges they're going to present your now number three Buckeyes?
Yeah, well, I think there's great respect. Certainly, I know there is from Day towards Oregon and Coach Cristobal and what they've done. Look, it's a reigning Pac-12 champs, so they understand what's coming. All we heard about in the offseason was game one and how we got to be ready to go out of the chute. And they obviously were saying that out of respect for Minnesota, but they know what's coming in game two, and they know the ability the Ducks have, certainly. Look, we all know what Thibodeau can do, whether he plays or not. They're expecting him here. Certainly, they're preparing for him to go, whether that's 100% or not, we'll see. But the point being is they know they've got their hands full. They're glad they're at home for this. There's respect. There's I think it's going to be an afternoon we'll all just look forward to. Now, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but as of right now, they're pretty well short of a sellout by less than 10,000 tickets. So I'm not sure we're going to see a sold-out crowd. I think there's a lot of factors playing into that. But this has been a date, ironically enough, tragically, 9/11. We've circled. We're going to have great weather here. It's going to be sunny and 81. I know it's a noon start, 9 a.m. out there for you folks. But there's great respect. There's a lot of anticipation to get people back in the horseshoe after, I think it's 658 days to finally have a near full house.
I mentioned Jim Lachey earlier, and you talk about the legendary Buckeye lineman, Orlando Pace, Taylor Decker from the championship team, Wyatt Davis more recently, and a lot of people think this group could be as strong as any in the country, but they do have two new starters. There was a position switch. So, Matt, as we try to get our Duck audience a little more familiar, who are the standouts on that line, and is this group maybe a group that's great together as opposed to a star or two?
Yeah, you make a great point. I brought this up this morning on our flagship of the morning show. They asked me what the most impressive part of that game against Minnesota was, and I said the offensive line. I don't think Stroud was hit. He was upright in the pocket. The offensive line, along with the receivers, probably the two strongest rooms on this team. Thayer Munford, I'm not sure if you've all followed it, but the left tackle for Ohio State, an All-American last year, has now moved into left guard. And they've taken the right tackle from a year ago, Nicholas Petit-Pierre, and moved him to left tackle. Luke Whippler was the starting center last week. That was unexpected. We didn't know until almost near game time that Harry Miller would not start at center, but Whippler did. Had a couple of bad snaps, but they all graded out champions. They've got a young man at right tackle in DeJuan Jones, who is an absolute freight train. They sized him up next to Orlando Pace, and he's a bigger guy than Pace was. And then the right guard is an All-American coming out of high school into Ohio State in Paris Johnson. So I'd say offensive line along with that receiving group, the two best units on this team. But that's definitely been a strength for this team the last few years, and I think it'll be their backbone as this year goes.
A few final thoughts for Buckeye analyst Matt Anderson. Pretty good list. You mentioned the receivers, and historically, be it David Boston, Chris Carter, Michael Jenkins going back to the 02 national champs. But, man, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, if they continue and have the kind of season most expect, along with, you know, some of the supplemental players we saw last week, I mean, how high up the list are they going to land in Buckeye lore as just this killer 1-2 punch?
I think Chris Olave has a chance to go down as the best receiver Ohio State's had, whether that's that's high praise, and I get it, and he made his name on special teams as a freshman. Shockey's back for a senior year, but last year, two scores. They just kind of glide through the defense. Look, they can hit the deep ball, but last week against Minnesota, Olave was able to get into some space and just kind of made it effortlessly to get through some folks. Wilson runs an amazing route. The three receiver didn't do much, but Jackson Smith and Jigba is a guy that we heard a ton about in the spring, how he's going to be the next one. They believe that they're six deep in that room. I think you're going to see probably a little more distribution. I got to think Oregon's going to clamp down a bit on Olave and Wilson, but they're a tough guard. There's no question about it. They create space well. But then you get into that second group of three, includes the like of Marvin Harrison Jr., you know his father, sure, who obviously played for the Colts. But this young man is a freshman that they're also high on. So it's a great room. Brian Hartline, one of those receivers that you talk of, is a former pro as well, and he's now the coach of that group. And he's recruited as well as anybody on this Ohio State staff. And that receiving room is loaded.
Let's go to the defense. I mean, they were dominating in 2019. Pretty good. A little dip last year.
Yeah.
And in week one, I would say they had moments, the big Garrett scoop and score. How would you describe maybe what is strong about this Kerry Combs defense?
The defensive line. That would seemingly be the answer every year Larry Johnson's been the D-line coach. But the D-line is good. Zach Harrison had that strip sack, as you mentioned, that led to Garrett's fumble. Harrison and Garrett Wilson on the line. And a couple of freshmen, JT Tuimoloau, and also Jack Sawyer, a couple of young guys to look out for. That's the strength of the defense. There's some questions on the back end. Of course, the national championship game with Alabama, it was a wreck on defense. But they had some good and some bad moments. But the strength of the defense is the defensive line, led by what we think is one of the best D-line coaches maybe to ever do it in college in Johnson.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about maybe the areas that Oregon might look to exploit. I think you just answered that. And by the way, giving up a bunch of points to Alabama last year, I wouldn't exactly say that's a black mark based on what they accomplished. But
no doubt. As you can imagine, Buckeye fans, Chicken Little in the sky were falling after that game. And so they want to see better. And I'm sure that they're hoping for a better secondary effort. And the linebackers are very young as well. They're replacing four very talented linebackers from a year ago. And it was decent production, but they want to get better out of them.
Folks, he's Matt Andrews, be on the radio broadcast as part of the Ohio State Radio Network for this big one between number 12 Oregon and those Buckeyes. Hey, Matt, I really appreciate your time and insight. You be well, be safe, have a terrific season. And should our paths cross again, you can count on me being in touch.
All the best, dear. I appreciate it. And for those of you folks that are headed to Columbus, we look forward to having you. And please enjoy your time here.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. Be well.
Yep, you bet.